Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word. It is a great word. You know, today, the Lord gave me, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The 23rd Psalm is such a beautiful word. It's an affirmation from God to us. As David wrote it, he wrote it for us. The Lord is my shepherd. Nobody else but God. Nobody else but God is our shepherd. And because God is our shepherd, we shall not want. We shall want for nothing. We don't need anything because God has already provided it. God has already provided it. He said, I got you. God got us. We are so blessed to know that God has our back. He has us from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. God has got us. We are gotten, as they say. Gotten by God. He loves us. I am just excited to know that I am loved by the Father. That I am loved so much to know that He's got me. He's got me and that He loves me. That I am loved by Him. I am cared for by Him. I am made whole by Him. For He is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And I shall not want. I shall not want for shelter. I shall not want for nourishment. I shall not want for any of the needs that I have, I shall not want because the Lord is my shepherd. No matter what I go through, no matter who comes against me, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my Father God, and He won't leave me. He even prepares a table before my enemies. He anoints me. The woman anointed Jesus from her alabaster box. God anoints us from His heavenly oil. Because why? We belong to Him. We are His sheep. We are His children. He is our shepherd. And as I look out over my yard and see all the snow that's out there and the tracks from several animals that have obviously walked through my yard, walked on my deck, walked around a little bit once the snow had come. Don't know what they are, because I'm not that good. I'm not one of those people that know animal tracks. But they've been visiting. You know, one must have taken shelter on my front porch, because I see the tracks leading from the porch down to the ground. And then there was, I believe it may have been a deer. I don't know, because I do get deers. But something a little bit heavier, so was walking out there in the snow. I'm sure finding shelter on my porch, which I don't care, because even animals need shelter in the storm. And we had a storm, a snowstorm, and it was big. It snowed practically all night. I'm looking at the drift right now by my garage door, and I got to go to work today. But you know what? It'll be done. Why? Because God is my shepherd. And he's going to wake up my sons and say, hey, you need to go out and open a way for your mother. Pull out the blower. Get out there and do what you need to do. Because you don't know what you may have to do. God takes care of us. Every time I think about it, I get all excited that God takes of us, that he loves us and takes care of us. I'm stuck on this word this morning because it's just that good. It's just that good. And when we think about the goodness of Jesus and what he did for us, as we studied on yesterday, he went to the cross for us. He died for us on his back. When they nailed those nails in his hands and in his feet, he was taking our sins. Wow. Taking our sins. What a mighty God we serve, one that loves us enough to take our and on the cross. He was beaten for our iniquities. Wow. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning as your faithful servant, as your lowly sheep, asking you, Lord God, to lead us and guide us, to take us where we need to go in our ministries, in our assignments, in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirits. Lord God, lead us to your destination. Let us not falter in our faith. Let us not falter in our walk. Help us, oh God, to be better today than we were yesterday. Lord, I pray for those that are traveling the highways and the byways today all over this nation that has been hit with a blizzard. I ask you, Lord God, to watch over them. Let your angels of grace and mercy follow after your children as they travel today to go to work, to go to their assignments, to go to their churches, to go wherever they must go. Lord God, I ask you to watch over them, lead them and guide them. Let no one leave this earth, Lord God, without knowing you, without knowing your son as the personal Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord God, fill us with the Holy Spirit that we may comprehend this word this morning. And Father, please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. But Lord God, I say this every day. You are my strength and my redeemer. And I can do nothing, Lord, without you. please come in and help me and guide me through your word, this inspirational book given by you to the apostles, to the disciples, to Moses' children. Help us, God, to be better today than we were again yesterday. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind, able to walk, able to talk, able to read, able to see, able to hear, able to speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanking God this morning, because there's somebody that did not wake up today. Somebody who will not see this new day. Somebody who will not see the snow on the ground or the ice. Someone who will not see the animal tracks. Someone who didn't make it. But we did. If you hear my voice, you made it to a new day. I thank God again for the do-over, because somebody didn't get to do it. So let us appreciate our blessings. Let us appreciate the goodness of the Lord. So let's get in our word this morning. Cannot believe that we're already at the middle point, actually past the middle point of this month. 28 days in February, and we're on the 16th of them. Hallelujah. And we are coming out of Leviticus chapter 3 this morning and chapter 4. And it says, when his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. I mean, everything is precise. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, it is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb as an offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord, its fat and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And if his sin, he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on his head and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from it his offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire, for a sweet aroma, all the fat of the Lord. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. We should not be eating fat or blood. We are blessed to have Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you imagine all the blood, all the stuff everywhere at every church as folks are bringing them unblemished lambs and rams and goats to be killed for offerings for sin? And all we have to do is bring us and our tithes and our offerings. We are blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. And it goes on to tell us, now the Lord, in chapter 4 of the book of Leviticus, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done and does any of them, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish, as a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, lay his hand on the bull's head, and kill the bull before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of meeting. The priest shall dip his fingers in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before the Lord, in front of the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall pour the remaining blood of the bull at the base of the altar of burnt offerings, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. He shall take from it all the fat of the bull as a sin offering, the fat entrails and all the fat which is on the entrails, the 2 kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flank, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove as it was taken from the bull of the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn them on the altar of the burnt offering. But the bull's hide and all his flesh, which is head, which with its head and legs, its entrails and offal, and the whole bull he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned. Now the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally. Now if the entire congregation now of Israel sins unintentionally, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done something against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which should not be done, and are guilty, then the sin which they have committed becomes known, then the assembly shall offer a young bull for the sin and bring it before the tabernacle meeting. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord. Then the bull shall be killed before the Lord. The anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood to the tabernacle meeting. Then the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and 7 times before the Lord in front of the veil. And he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle meeting. And he shall pour the remaining blood at the base of the altar of burnt offerings, which is at the door of the tabernacle meeting. He shall take all the fat from it and burn it on the altar. And he shall do it with the bull as he did with the bull as a sin offering. This thus he shall do with it. So the priest shall make atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Then he shall carry the bull outside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. It is a sin offering for the assembly. So the sin offering for a priest and the sin offering for the assembly has to be done outside of the camp. When a ruler has sinned and done something unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord, his God is in anything which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin which he has committed comes to his knowledge, he shall bring as his offering a kid of a goat, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hand
on the head of the goat and kill it at the place where they kill the burnt offerings before the Lord. It is a sin offering. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and pour its blood at the base of the altar of burnt offerings. And he shall burn all its fat on the altar, like the fat of the sacrifice of the peace offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. If anyone of the common people sins unintentionally by doing something against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done, and is guilty, for if his sin which he has committed comes to his knowledge, then he shall bring as his offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has committed, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill the sin offering at the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest shall take some of its blood with his fingers, put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour all the remaining blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all its fat, as fat is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma to the Lord. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. If he brings a lamb as his sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish. Then he shall lay his hands on the head of the sin offering and kill it as a sin offering at the place where they kill the burnt offerings. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offerings, and pour all the remaining blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all his fat, as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offering. Then the priest shall burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire to the Lord. The priest shall make atonement for his sins, and he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. And just a life lesson from Leviticus chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. It says, if a person sins unintentionally, y'all catch that, unintentionally, against any of the commandments of the Lord, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin. To sin unintentionally is better understood as a sin unthinkingly. Something we all do, yet God is gracious. He not only reveals our sin to us, but he also offers us his forgiveness. We are blessed beyond measure that we can go directly to God without having to have unblemished anything. We just go, because that's what he wants us to do. Just go. Just go. Bring yourself on the altar. Give it to God. Give whatever the situation is to God, and watch God work in your life. And our word for this morning comes from this psalm that most of us learned as children in Sunday school. What I hopefully have imparted on the kids that I taught in children's ministry, the psalm, the 23rd psalm. You know, to teach this psalm, it seems like it's just something that we should all know, and we should teach it to children, because the children need to know that the Lord is their shepherd, that you don't have to worry about anything because the Lord God is your shepherd. And it says simply, it's a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd. Not boo-boo and them down the street, not even our pastors. Our pastors are earthly shepherds that God has chosen, just like he chose Peter and the apostles. God has chosen someone to shepherd you. You have to have a covering, I believe. But we know that our main covering is God. If you are a wife, your covering is your husband. And your husband's covering should be God. And if it's not, then your covering better be God. We know that God is always there for us, that his son is always there for us, that he has left the Holy Spirit inside of us, because we are his children and we are his sheep. And this is the word. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall
not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The Lord is wanting us to renew ourselves with Him. He restores my soul, renewal. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, Jesus Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We can't fear COVID. We can't fear winter storms. We can't fear anything because the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Hallelujah. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because He is my shepherd. And I shall not want. There's nothing I need that my Father God cannot give me. There is nothing that I want that my Father God will not make available to me. But that's just how He is. He loves me like that. And I love Him back just like that. And I'm getting ready to go to my Hebrew Bible, and it's been translated into English. And so let me find the 23rd Psalm. Okay, the 23rd Psalm. And this is what the Hebrew version says of this word, and I love it. And it says this: Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me to restful waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah for as long as my days. Wow. That is the Hebrew version of the 23rd Psalm. Jehovah. They take the name. It's not the Lord. It's Jehovah. But we know Jehovah is the Lord. But they break it down for us. Jehovah. I will dwell in the house of Jehovah. In, meaning, I will dwell in the house of God for as long as my days. Wow, what a word. It's always good to have other versions of the word. And when you have the actual version of the word, it just does something to your spirit. Let's go into our Proverbs word this morning. In Proverbs, it says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Forsake foolishness. And that is a word that we all need, to forsake foolishness. Why? Because the Lord is our shepherd. And as we go into our life lessons, one is the 23rd Psalm, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, which is the title of our lesson today. I shall not want. If you have the Lord, you have everything. If you don't have the Lord, you have nothing. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is Jesus your Savior? Are you a part of God's flock? That's just some questions that we each have to ask ourselves. Am I a part of the Lord's flock? Is Jesus my Savior? Is the Lord, or is Jehovah my shepherd? And my answer to all three is absolutely. I want to be in the Lord's herd. Hallelujah. I want to be in his flock. Psalms 23 and 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. We cannot always see goodness and mercy ahead of us, but when we look behind us, we see them. That helps us to look ahead and see more clearly where we glimpse our place at God's side forever. We got to look forward. We got to quit as people of God looking backwards. What if? And I'm going to tell you, I am guilty. Got the T-shirt, the what if T-shirt. You know what? It needs to go in the garbage or it needs to be burned. Because what ifs are just what they are, what ifs. They have no redeeming factor, no redeeming anything. They're just that, a what if. And it means nothing because you cannot change the past. You can only move forward. And that's what we have to do, move forward. Quit what if in your life. You know, what if I had done this? What if I had done that? What if, what if, what if? It changes nothing. And this is a word from Dr. Stanley. Answers to life's questions. How can I find renewal and restoration? And it says this. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Psalms 23, verses 2 and 3. Most likely you have heard this passage quoted more times than you can count, no matter how often this much-loved psalm is recited. However, we still seem to miss the full impact of the message. God restores our soul. So we don't have to look at the what-ifs because we're restored. What is in the past is in the past. And this is me saying that, not Dr. Stanley. Dr. Stanley says, how does he do it? He restores our soul through fellowship with himself. Even though at times we stray far from him, he remains the good shepherd. Though we wander, he receives us back gladly and willingly pardons his wayward sheep. Why would we ever leave such a loving guide? Most likely to have never made a conscious decision to forsake the Father. Instead, you may have slipped away slowly and subtly. As a result of wandering desires and selfish attempts to meet your own needs. Wow. We all know. We've been there, done that. I can do it myself. How many times have we heard our children say that? I know what I'm doing. I can do it myself. And a lot of times, most times, they fall and we need to help them. Just like we fall, and our Father needs to help us. Instead, Dr. Stanley says this, most likely you have never made a conscious decision to forsake the Father. Instead, you may have slipped boldly and subtly as a result of wandering desires and selfish attempts to meet your own needs. I had to read that again because I believe that most of us have all been in this place sometime in our life. But when you strive to attain comfort and safety apart from God, you stray farther and farther away from him. Been there, done that. And thanking God, he forgave me and brought me back into the fold. Luke 15 presents a wonderful picture of the warm reception awaiting a lost sheep.
Did the shepherd scold or punish the wayward lamb? No, instead, all of heaven celebrated because the lost had been found. Likewise, heaven rejoices when a wandering child of God returns to the fold. Jesus tells us there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Luke 15 and 7. That's what we all got to know. 99 and a half won't do for God. 99 won't do. He wants the whole 100. He wants that one that has lost its way. It says, in restoring our souls, God is more than a pardoning shepherd. He is also a providing shepherd. He knows what we need before we ask, and he delights in meeting our needs. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. That means he knows what you need physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Right now, in fact, he is already at work accomplishing and providing the things you need, even though you may not even have thought of them yet. Finally, God is our protecting shepherd. What comforts the psalmist in Psalms 23 and 4? It is the Lord's rod and staff. Ancient shepherds used these tools to defend their sheep from vicious animals seeking a quick meal. In the same way, God moves before us, clearing the way of the enemy's snares. Have you experienced God's provision only to fall into subsequent doubt and fear because of loss or hardship? Again, been there, done that. God has not left you. He remains with God, with your good shepherd, leading you through the darkness and into the light. It is there in his presence that he will pardon, provide for, and protect you always. And all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, God, for being there for me in my darkest hour, for being there for me, for being there to pick me up, dust me off, and kiss my boo-boo, because you know that I love you and you're my dad, and you're putting that bandage on it so it can heal, so I can heal, so all things can start to work for my good, because I trust in you. For you are my God. You are Jehovah. You are my shepherd. You are my friend, and you love me because I am your child. And we got to have that in our spirit to know that we are never alone, that he is always there with us, and that he will never leave us or forsake us, because he said it in his word, and we stand on his word, that Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But we call him by name, Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Hallelujah. He is that to us. He is our absolute, our everything. And all we have to do is believe. I told y'all it was a good word this morning. Now we're going into the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 55 through 66. And understand, Jesus has been crucified. He's going to be buried. And it says this, and many women, women's ministry, and many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him were there looking on from afar. Women, we always there, y'all. Whatever is needed, we are there. Among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, his mother, Mary, the mother, excuse me, of James and Joseph, which is Jesus' mother, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how the deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard? Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Matthew 27:63. We remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, "After 3 days I will rise." They were scared. I'm saying that they were scared because they knew in their heart the truth, and they knew it was going to happen, and they was trying to prevent what was going to happen. But you cannot prevent what God already has planned. You cannot try to stop the Savior from rising. You cannot do what you think you're going to do, because the Lord God is in charge. Jehovah is in charge, and all you are are minions. You can't do anything. And you knew in your heart he wasn't a deceiver. You knew who he was the day he started doing miracles. You knew who he was when he spoke in the temple. You knew who he was when you put him on the cross. You knew who he was. And you know that prophecy will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. And I'm sure it didn't dawn on them until after the crucifixion that prophecy was fulfilled. And this is the word that Dr. Stanley wrote. He said, "The enemies of Jesus often understood him better than his friends and followers did. The disciples did not grasp until sometime after the resurrection that Jesus would actually rise from the dead," John 20:9. But we know that they all knew. They knew the word, and they knew the word had to be fulfilled. And they knew he said this. We believe him, but we are not going to tell you we believe him, because we don't want to create a political situation. And we know how political situations can get out of hand. They didn't want to create a political situation, so they just made it seem like, well, you know, this deceiver said, and we don't want his disciples to take his body and then pretend like he rose from the dead. We know he's a good rabbi, but, you know, we don't want to create any confusion, you know. I was like, I ain't got nothing to do with this. You got people, y'all put your people there. He's like, I'm not putting a Roman soldier in front of this. Because Pilate, his wife had told him, have nothing to do with it. Don't have anything to do with this stuff. Stay out of the Jews' situation. Don't get involved with this. Don't do it. And his wife was right. Don't do it. Don't get involved. Because if you get involved with it, you're going to have a mess on your hands. Because these people know the truth. We know the truth. They know the truth. But they don't want the truth, because they don't want to be free from being under all the laws and all the this and that. But isn't it amazing that after Jesus' death, after all the things, that even the Jews don't go killing lambs and rams and goats anymore? Come on now. We all know that Jesus is the Messiah. We know that he is coming back. And for those that don't want to believe, in their heart of hearts, they know the truth. Because if you are a child of God, he has already told you. He has already shown you. He has already given you the vision. And he's already made it plain that this is my beloved son. Open the clouds, sent the dove. This spoke it loud, not once, but twice. This is my beloved son. He told us. We got to believe it. God said it, we believe. And that is our word for this morning. If there is anyone that would like to speak, please don't hesitate to hit the number 1 on your phone. As I go to a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and we have a caller. Hallelujah.
1801, your line is open.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Mother. How are you this morning?
I said, Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's my shepherd in heaven, and he's my shepherd on earth.
Whew.
Shepherds, he will send shepherds. He will send angels to help us. He sent my daughter, Lisa, to help. He sent my sister, Valerie, my children. They are the angels on earth. That's why I do not have, you know, a life for shepherds. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He refreshes and restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil because he is with me.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
He's my rod. He protects me, even though sometimes I don't know what's going on, like what's going on in my body right now. Probably sound like I got a mouth full of mush, but God knows. I don't know. He's my shepherd in heaven, in heaven, and he sent angels to shepherd us here on earth. Pastors, teachers, sisters, brothers, children.
Come on now.
Husband. He's my sister and a husband at the shelter to her, to help her.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
We are blessed.
You just have
we
to
are so
trust
blessed.
Him. Trust him. Trust him with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding because he knows what's going on. We don't let somebody promise to never leave you or forsake you. But he said he would be with you to the end. We just have to remember that.
Amen.
That's amen.
Well, we appreciate what you have to say because we know that you know what you're talking about, Mother. We love you so much. And we have prayed for you. We have lifted you up. And we thank God to hear your voice. Hallelujah. You've been in my spirit. You've been on my heart. And I am so grateful that God let me hear your voice. Thank you, God. And thank you, Mother, for pushing the number one. We appreciate you and we love you more than you can even imagine. You are loved. And I will be getting some more information from you. I'll be giving you a call separate and apart just to let you know I love you. And we'll be talking. We'll be talking. And I thank God for you. So, family, continue to please keep our mother of this vlog. She is one of three mothers that we have, all sisters, hallelujah. One is a mother of my actual church, but one is a mother of my heart. And I thank God for her, too. So just please keep the mothers of this vlog, Mother Rita, Mother Jan, and Mother Valerie, in your prayers and in your heart, because God knows everything. And we all believe that he is our Heavenly Father. We believe that he is our shepherd, and he is always there because we shall never need, because we know that he is with us wherever we go. The highways and the byways, he is with us. And so I ask you this morning to please continue to keep Sister Carolyn in your prayers. She is traveling. She is out of state. She is actually in Texas. And as we all know, Texas has been hit with this storm. She is scheduled to fly out this afternoon. Please keep her in your prayers that she will have traveling grace and mercy, that they will surround her plane and that she will not be grounded because of snow or ice or wind or rain, that all things will work for her good. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn,
as we do every day from Careless Gift. And I promise you will be the first to know when it becomes a book. Hallelujah. And the word for this morning is this. Actually, the word for this morning is this. Trouble don't last always, y'all. Look to God where your help comes from. Have a triumphant Tuesday. Come on, y'all. I don't tell anybody what I'm going to be coming from because I go by the word and by the date of the Bible that coming from, which is Dr. Stanley, Life Principles, Bible Daily Principles for each day of the year. And so Sister Carolyn does not know what I'm going to say, and I don't know what she's going to say because most of the time I've written out what I'm going to just take in the scripture and put the title and everything in before I get her word. But again, the word for this morning, trouble don't last always. And now what the word of God just says is, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then as she says, look to God where your help comes from. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then she tells us to have a triumphant Tuesday. So I thank God for our sister in Christ. Please continue to lift she and our family up as we move forward in our word, as we move forward in life. Mother Jan, I thank God for you. And I know that God has got it all under control because you are special to God. I believe you are special to God because you are special to all of us. And just letting you know on the air for the world to hear, I love you, Auntie. And I just thank God for you. And Aunt Rita and Mother Valerie putting me and making me a part of your family. And my sister Carolyn making me a part of your family. I thank God for all of you. Be blessed today and be blessed always. If there's anyone else that would like to speak, please hit the number 1 on your phone before we get out. Thank you, God. I love God so much, and I'm just sitting here getting filled up because I know that he is my shepherd, and I am blessed to be called his daughter. So thank you all. That's all we got this morning. Continue to keep Evangelist in prayer as well. She is spending some time with God. Part in your prayers as well. Prophetess, Evangelist, alcoholic, all of the above. Sandra, she is on a sabbatical right now with God. She is also listening in, and we thank God for her. And I ask you to continue to keep all those that listen in. So, Father God, I'm just going to pray. Lord God, we ask you to bless each and every listener, those that listen live, those that listen later. Lord, we ask you to keep them covered under the blood of Jesus as they are your sheep, oh God. Bring them into your pasture. Protect them from all hurt, harm, and evil. Protect them from the wiles of the enemy. For, Lord, he is like a snare just waiting to trap one of your sheep. But, Lord, we know that your rod and your staff, you protect us. You keep us covered. Father God, we thank you this day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. For we are one of the 100. Hallelujah. Because 99 did not do. Thank you, Lord God, for all things. Thank you for this word. May it permeate hearts, minds, and spirits that we will remember that you are Jehovah and you are our shepherd. And we thank you this day for your word, for your grace and your mercy that covers us from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. You have anointed us. And we thank you, Lord. And Father God, as we get ready to part, we say, to each other as we pray to you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray over each and every one of you. Be safe, be whole, be healthy, and know that you are blessed by God. For he loves you more than anything. For he is Jehovah and he is our shepherd. Have a blessed day, family. As we say on moving forward, it is a wrap.
keep me in your prayers because I have to go out in the weather to go to work this morning, and I'm looking at the snow, and it's pretty high. So please keep me in your prayers as I travel the highways and byways to do what I've been assigned to do by God. So thank you so much, Mother. I love you. Mwah! Sending you a kiss through the wire. Have a blessed day.
All right.
I'll give you a call. Take care.
It's a good word.
Go ahead, Mother.
It was a good word.
Thank you. Thank you, God, because it's all God, not me. I ask him to increase as I decrease. So I thank you, Lord, for increasing as I decrease, for your word to go forth. Thank you all. Be blessed, family. Have a great and blessed day. Stay warm. Stay dry. Stay healthy. Be blessed. It's around.